Praise be to Allah, Lord of all the world. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I openly bear witness that nothing deserves worship or worthy worship but the one God whose proper name is Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. To Imam Wahid bin Muhammad, his family, to our two host Imams, Imam Fleeman Al-Amin and Imam William Abdul Rahim, to the Imams in the southern region and Imams that have traveled from outside of the southern region, to the Muslims and to all of the visitors and friends, Assalamu alaikum. Today, November 2nd, is part 3 of the Clear Voice for All Humanity, being held here in the southern region, Atlanta, Georgia. We have the presence of Imam Wahid bin Muhammad and his family, and we're very thankful to Allah for this. We, the Muslims in the southern region, especially the host Muslim community in Atlanta, Georgia, have been working very diligently and consistently for this special occasion. Occasions such as these help us, the Muslims, in so many ways, especially in the southern region, where in smaller cities and towns, many of us don't see the one or two Muslims weekly or monthly, sometimes in many cases during the whole year. It helps us in many ways. It helps our children. They don't see many Muslims, and sometimes, you know, we along with our children, we begin to think that the Muslim community is very, very small, here in America especially. But when you travel and you see Muslims, hundreds of Muslims gathered together, happy and good spirit, it does the heart so much good, not only the heart but the brain, the mind also, and the soul. We've seen Muslims travel from various places, and we're thankful to Allah for this. So it benefits not only Muslims, it benefits the non-Muslims that come in the midst of the Muslims, because it helps in dispelling some of the misconceptions about Muslims. So we, the Muslims in the southern region, we thank Allah for such a world leader as Imam Wahid bin Muhammad. And we pledge our support 1,000% behind his mission of propagation, community assistance, and these appearances throughout the country to bring the major Muslim concerns to all Muslims. Stemming from the last program, Imam W.D. Muhammad addressed us in the southern region in Atlanta, March 13, 1986, this year, highlighting business development in the community. He has since then addressed the northeast region in part one of what we call the Clear Voice for Humanity. And in July, he was in Detroit addressing that region. And now, but let me just mention this. In Detroit, he mentioned the appointment to the prestigious Supreme Council of Massachusetts, represented by Rabita, which is... And we were very happy to hear that good news coming to our leader, Imam Wahid bin Muhammad. And today, November the 2nd, he mentioned that Sister Clara Muhammad, his mother, was born on this day. So it's another good occasion. And not only that, the new book, An African American Genesis, is being initiated in terms of its introduction here in the southern region. So we are very proud to have him with us and to bring before you now the clear voice for all humanity, world leader, Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Takbir. 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 Dear Muslims, dear people, peace be unto you, as we say that Islam in our religion, commonly called Islam in the West, Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi Azza wa Jal wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of all the world. We seek Him for assistance. We turn to Him for forgiveness. We put our complete trust in Him, who is almighty and sublime. And we bear witness that nothing deserves worship except the one Lord, Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. And we pray the cross's blessings upon the messenger of Allah, his descendants, and the righteous companions, the companions and the righteous all, be pleased. Dear Muslims, we pray Allah's peace be on us, and that He favor this gathering and the purpose for which we have gathered, and make us stronger in the faith and purer in our hearts or in our intentions. We pray His blessings upon those, His mercy and His favor on those who have made great efforts and separated from their dollars and their concerns back home, even for those in this city, that He give them His blessing. Allah Most High says in the Quran, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِنَّةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أُخْرِجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The translation in English is, say, who has made prohibited the inviting things which Allah has brought out of the earth, are brought out for His servants, and the good things and the good things of the provision. Say, such things are for those who believe. That is, who believe and have faith. It is for those who believe during this world's life and will be complete for them, perfect and complete for them in the resurrection. قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم. Say, surely my Lord has prohibited shameful behavior, whether done openly or done secretly, and he has forbidden all the wrongdoings of Israel, sin or wrongdoing. And hatred and the association with God, that is not to be associated with him. The making of partners are associated with God. And again, Allah Most High says in the Holy Book, in His Book, the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَتَبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And who is better in religious life than one who has submitted himself completely to Allah and is a doer of good, and he follows the way of Abraham, the upright man, and he and Allah, and Allah took Abraham for a friend. Again, Allah Most High says in His Holy Book, in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Tilka Darul Akhira, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ أُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The inn aboard. We have made it for those who do not aspire to or desire or work for supremacy in the earth, nor corruption. And the end are the fulfillment of things, the end aboard are the fulfillment of things, is for those who are regardful, the God-fearing, the pious, the God-fearing, those who are regardful of the matters that are sacred and precious, the matters that God has established to be regarded, highly regarded, secretly regarded by man. And again, Allah, our Lord says to us in His Book, the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah, He invites to the abode of peace, and He guides whomsoever He will to a way that is straight. And we say in Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Quran, that is repeated on all occasions and in all prayers, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Our Lord guide us in the straight way. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The way of those you have favored. The way of those you have favored. So Allah Most High, He only favors those who walk or who go upon the straight way. He does not favor those who go upon other paths. There is only one straight way. Other ways are crooked. The straight way in our religion is the way intended by Allah for man in creating man. It is the way of our natural, inherent excellence. The prophet Ibrahim completed his sacrifice before Allah, to Allah. He's called Hanifa. He completed it, and he is also our father. And we know Allah has said in the Quran that He made Prophet Abraham, Prophet Ibrahim in Arabic, Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, a leader for all nations. And our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, was given the Quran for all people, as a benefit to all people. For Muslims, as a benefit not only to Muslims, but a benefit to all people. And it is said in the Quran that was given to our Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, that our way is the way of Abraham, the upright in faith. Allah has given to us his holy book. I read this version of Rabbana inna sami'na munadiyan yunadi lil iman an amanu bi rabbikum. The words of the faithful, our Lord, surely we have heard a caller calling to faith, that we should believe, in your Lord. Surely we have heard a caller to faith, calling us to believe, a calling that you should believe in your Lord. We have gathered here, and we should understand that whatever we can accomplish here depends upon faith. First of all, upon faith. Without faith, we cannot begin. We cannot go anywhere. Faith strengthens us and puts us in a good situation as Muslims, as families, people as concerned residents, workers on our jobs, voters, when election times come. Faith. Without faith, we can't do anything. Those who have no faith in their future as Muslims cannot be expected to do anything. Those who have no faith in their ability to manage good family lives cannot be expected to do much of anything. Faith is the beginning. Allah has called us to faith. Allah gave us Muhammad, the prophet, peace and the blessing be on him, to call us to faith. The beginning of the Muslim life is faith. We say we believe in Allah. We believe in his angels. We believe in the revelations that he has sent. We believe in the messengers that he has sent. We believe in God's promise to us. We believe in the day of judgment. We believe in the resurrection after the death. We believe in the ordinance of Allah that regulates good and evil, that gives us the consequences of our good deeds and the consequences of our bad deeds. Life for the Muslim began in faith. Belief is faith. Faith is trust. A distrustful people cannot go anywhere. We must be people of faith. We must be people trusting Allah, trusting Quran, trusting the messenger to whom it was revealed, and trusting what Allah has revealed in the Quran for us, for our life, for our direction in this world. We must be people trusting his promise of judgment, his promise of justice, his promise of reward, his promise of paradise, his promise of hellfire. We must be people trusting Allah. Again, I'm quoting from Quran. Allah Most High says, there is not much good benefit coming out of secret meetings. This meeting is no secret meeting. I don't know if we have non-Muslims here or not, but they are invited. I invite them all the time. And I appreciate their presence all the time. And I feel obligated to invite people, not just Muslims, all the time. Prophet Muhammad, if he had invited only Muslims, there would have been no Muslim but him. Peace be upon him. He invited non-Muslims, he invited people, and obligated us to do the same. And we know it's difficult for non-Muslims to join us, because we have been misrepresented and people are skeptical. They don't know if they should trust themselves in our meetings. And our enemy is constantly working at keeping them skeptical. And our enemy is sometimes just in our clothing. In fact, that's his best position. When he dressed like one of us and claimed to be one of us, that's his best position to carry out his dirty work. For Allah Most High tells us in His holy book that there is not much good coming out of secret meetings. Why is that there for us? To discourage secret meetings. Our religion discourages secret meetings and encourages open meetings. This is a Muslim concern. But Muslim concern is also a human concern. Muslim concern is also a people's concern. Therefore, we don't have any need for conduct our meetings in secrecy. We invite the public. Allah says there's not much good coming out of the secret meetings, except for those secret meetings where good is done. The purpose for the secret meeting is to do good. إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ except for those who instruct people to be charitable. To be charitable. Our ma'roofin are to be of excellent behavior. To conform to the highest standards of human excellence. So why would there be a need for men to gather in secrecy for such accepted cause? And it continues, our Islam in Bain and Man are to promote the doing of justice, righteousness, among the people. Why would men gather in secrecy for that? That seems to be something, a cause that we should come out in the open with. No one would be against us. Yes, the devil is against that. His imps are against that. And the verse continues, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever does that, seeking Allah's favor, seeking what pleases the Lord, then surely we shall guide him, we shall give him, then surely we shall give him, bring for him, and give him, bring him to a reward that is mighty. A reward that is mighty. If the Muslims meet in secrecy, they should be hiding something from devil. If the Muslims meet in secrecy, they should be hiding something from devil. They should be hiding something from the wicked. Knowing that if the wicked see and know about what they are doing of good, they will plan to defeat it. So if they fear the eyes of the wicked on what they're doing, then it is acceptable for some of their concerns that they meet in secrecy to advance their good according to Allah's will and purpose among men. Allah has taught us as Muslims
to be active, to be productive, to be aggressive. We know a law doesn't accept aggression, that is violent. Aggression, that is war. He only accepts that we retaliate for injustice, that we defend ourselves against aggression. But he does not accept that Muslims be aggressive in war. We are not to start war. We are not to be the cause of war. But if war is made against us, we are to retaliate, we are to defend ourselves. Really? But Allah does want us to be aggressive. Aggressive in carrying forward to good things. When we say we believe in jihad, we are saying we believe in being aggressive with the responsibility for carrying forward the good things, the good life that Allah intended for man. And Allah says, "Jahadu, jahadu bi amwalikum wa anfusikum." And struggle, push forward, assert yourself, struggle with your possessions, your belongings, your wealth, and with your very self. With your very self, with your faith, with your moral strength. Before a great and powerful leader, leader of a small thing, leader of a big thing, leader of private matters, leader of government matters, even the president, if he is oppressive, if he's wrong, if he's doing wrong, then the best conduct of jihad that we may demonstrate is to show the courage to speak out against the wrong of a powerful leader. The highest form of jihad is to speak up for truth in the face of a ruler, whether government authority, other authority, or any leader who deviates from the right path. Our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he has said, "Yadullahi ala jama'a, ala jama'ati." He has said that Allah's protection is for the whole people, the collective concern, not the private concern. When the private concern is at odds with the collective concern, then know that Allah will not favor the private concern. He favors the collective concern. And if Allah favors the collective concern, then the Muslims should be united for the collective concern. We should not unite
to advance good morality without thinking and being interested in promoting the collective concern. Some of us want good morality and good moral conditions for ourselves, where we are, but we don't have an awareness and a concern for the conditions of people beyond us, a distance away from us. If I have a moral interest in Masjid Newark, I should have the same in Masjid Atlanta. I should have the same in all the masjids. And my moral concern for the people of Newark should not stop there, but it should also go on to the people of Atlanta. Wherever there are Muslims, we should have the same moral concern. We shouldn't be satisfied to have one masjid morally established and many other masjids beyond us, a distance away, morally corrupt. I'm not saying this to point out correction anywhere. There may be no correction. I don't know. I didn't come here with that, with any issue of morals in the masjid. That's not my point. My point is the general concern that we shouldn't give ourselves to narrow concern and overlook the general concern. Allah favors the general concern. Therefore, we must be united behind the general concern. We cannot be satisfied with good business effort in Atlanta and overlook the need for that in Chicago and other cities throughout the United States. Whatever we do in our local place, it should take into consideration also the needs of other places. And maybe it can't serve those needs today. Maybe not even this year. Maybe not for the next 5 years. But it should be in our concern. We should have that in our concern. And we should say one day, our effort here is going to be carried on and going to benefit those in Newark, those in Chicago, those in Los Angeles, wherever we are. Then Allah will save us. Allah will be with us. His protection will be with us. Because we are not selfish people, we are not narrow-minded people. He will be with us. And if we have that kind of concern, we are not going to only better our condition as Muslims, but we are going to better our situation as a minority people in a non-Muslim country. When the non-Muslims see us with that general concern for the Muslim community, they're going to appreciate us more. They're going to know that the Muslim effort is not going to be small in America, it's going to be big in America. There's no way that we will take care of our collective concern and not make a great contribution to the betterment of non-Muslims also who suffer our same situation. No way. But if we do now in our concern, then we will hurt ourselves and we will also hurt our future in this country that is a great majority of non-Muslims. So it makes good sense. It is good common sense to be a good Muslim. It is good common sense to be a whole Muslim. It is good common sense to be the total Muslim, not the half Muslim, not the one-eighth Muslim, not the one-fifth Muslim, to be the total Muslim. It makes good common sense. Especially in the situation we find ourselves in America. Make good common sense. Not that we shouldn't practice it anywhere in the world. Certainly we should practice it anywhere in the world. But in America, where we are small minority here, and the mechanism
that are in the culture and in the atmosphere that can make trouble and set us back, being as great as they are, it makes good sense for us to work hard as we can to grow into the total mission. Our Father, peace and blessings be on him, has also said, the believer is one that when he endeavors, accepts into an endeavor, a work, no matter what it is, decorating a house, establishing a business, organizing a family, instructing the family, whatever it is, working on your own self-improvement, no matter what it is, he says when a Muslim enter into a work, he seeks to perfect it. He's not satisfied with no shabby job, with no hidden need. He seeks to perfect it. If we will believe in our religion and live it as Muhammad the Prophet taught it, peace and blessings be on him, we will show great progress as a people. No way we will not have great progress. We will have great progress as a people. And that progress will not only be in the church kind of conception of what the believer should be doing, but it will be also in the eyes of the intellectual, in the eyes of the industrialist, in the eyes of all people who need it for the advance of man's society. That work will be seen by all of them and appreciated by all of them. If we follow our religion as Allah has revealed in the Quran, follow it as Prophet Muhammad taught it and as he lived it. There ain't no way you're not going to progress. You're going to progress. And you're going to progress in every dimension. Not in any small, narrow, puritanical dimension, but in every dimension. For Allah said, he has made this earth to be inherited by those who worship him. He has not made this earth to be inherited by the disbelievers, the rejecters of faith, the rejecters of God, the rejecters of truth, the corruptors, the oppressors of the righteous. No! He has made it for those who serve him. Now Allah says that very plainly in our holy book. That's enough for me. If Allah says he made the earth for those who serve him, and I'm the one who pledged myself to serve him, then Allah made the earth for me. And I'm going to do something about the false tenets. Now, you know you can hurt him just like he hurts you. You don't have to go at him directly all the time. Go at him indirectly. And the most positive indirect way, the most productive, indirect way to advance against your enemy, who's a corrupt enemy, a wrong person, the most powerful way to go at him indirectly is to go at him by concentrating on improving your own content. Because his effort, his most powerful effort, is weakening your own content. That's how he advanced himself against you. His best weapon is to weaken your content. So your best weapon is to improve your content. Now, if I'm not doing a good job on the battlefield against wickedness, against evil in my environment, it's most likely because I'm not watching my own content to see that my own content is improved every day all along the road of progress. Allahu Akbar, and in him we put all our trust. You know what we're saying when we say Allahu Akbar? We're saying Allah is more important. We are saying Allah is more important. Allah is bigger. Allah is greater. And you know the Bible people, they have a saying, greater is He, greater is He that is in me than him that is in the world, than he that is in the world. Than him that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me. Aren't we similar? When we say Allahu Akbar, we must first have Allah within us. Allah should be in our hearts. Allah should be the core, the nucleus of our very life. We should not depend on our life system, the lungs, the brain, the nervous system, the heart, more than we depend on Allah. So if man can say, well, the most vital organ for man, for life, for sustaining life, for keeping life, is his heart, then we, when we say Allahu Akbar, we mean that Allah is more important for sustaining this system than the heart. For man may aim at the heart to kill you, and Allah may cause him to faint before he throws the tree. Praise be to Allah. And Allah says, if he's supposed to be you, then your own judgment angel. The more I look at myself in the framework, the context of this religion, the more courage I get to deal with the problem. If you're weak, if you lack courage, it's because you are not seeing yourself in the context of your religion. Dear beloved Muslims, understand, for us, religion is honesty. Religion is truthfulness. Religion is goodness. Religion is decency. Religion, as the prophet says, is good behavior. Peace and blessings be on our prophet. The prophet again has said, and this was said after the settlement in the city of the light, the city of enlightenment, Madinatul Munawwira, Medina, the prophet's city. He was born in Mecca, but Medina is called his city. And it was there that he established the first community order for the Muslims that came to be recognized as the first Muslim nation. From there, Muslim nations have been established in every corner of the world almost. You might say, well, not in the West. Oh yes. I believe Europe is considered West, isn't it? Well, there are many white Muslim nations there. And in time, who knows? Maybe Rome will become a Muslim nation. Who knows? upon establishing the Muslim order of society in Medina. And we must understand Muslims, that except for devotion, spiritual devotion, and just private almost discourse on the religion, there was hardly anything accomplished. For our Prophet and his followers, his wonderful, outstanding followers, for over 10 years. But after the settlement in Medina, great progress started. Some of us want quick results. We're not patient. We got to see it right now. Now, we have the son of the Prophet, but we are not the Prophet. And when we look in the history of the Prophet, there's a period of better than 10 years that looked like nothing was happening. But don't listen to those around you saying, well, if this way of the Prophet is right, if Imam Muhammad is right, telling us to follow the sunnah of the Prophet, how come we don't have something to show for it? Don't listen to people like that. In fact, I don't have to tell an awake believer that at all. Because they know not to listen at me. They know not to listen to me if I say anything to dampen their spirit. They listen to only that I say that helps them please Allah. If I say anything out of my mouth that dampens their spirit to go forward as a Muslim, to fulfill their life as Allah intended, they don't listen to me. And sometimes in my human weakness, I may say something that might not ring true or may not contribute to the good spirit, the strong spirit of a believer. So the alert, awake believer, they know to just pass out what I said. And when I meet you and I see you, remind me to thank you for casting it out. And I'm going to cast out what you say too, if it dampens my spirit. The Prophet said, peace and blessings be on him, after establishing the Muslim order of society, he said to his followers, after this, there is taqwa and jihad. Now you know, until the Prophet got a model for Muslim community life, there were many great tasks to concentrate on. Private ethics, secrecy. They had to hide themselves from the enemy. That's why the matter of secrecy is taken up in the Quran. They had to hide themselves from the enemy because the enemy was out to stamp out the light before it could be seen. So there were many great concerns for the Muslims to concentrate on. But once the model community was established, then that was an energizer. A constructive energizer that was tangible, visible for the believer. That's very necessary. You brothers and sisters who are not only trying to keep your Muslim spirit, but you're also trying to carry out your community Muslim obligation by showing work, good work, legitimate work,
lawful work, business, lawful business. You are doing the work of building a visible, tangible entity for the Muslim community. And that serves as an energizer, a tangible, visible energizer. I came here to Atlanta, I read in the journal about your growth in business. When I came in Atlanta and saw them again this year, this time, this visit, oh, again, I just energized. Dual Ciola, I don't know what it is, but it's powerful. So don't let nobody play your work cheap. In fact, you stand out not only as Muslims, you stand out as citizens of Atlanta. And that's how the Muslims should stand out. Because Allah says if you're truly believers, you should be successful. And you should gain. You should succeed. You should go farther than other people. The non-believer should never outstrip the believer. Now, don't go away with the mind that Muslims are competing in Atlanta against non-believers. Christians are believers. There are many, many excellent believers among the Christians. In fact, you know, on the Day of Judgment, Prophet Muhammad has told us, in fact, peace be upon him, that the people from the different religions, they will all be there, not going to be just Muslims together. Christians going to be gathered for their reward. Jews going to be gathered for their reward. But we have been told this. Those genuine ones will be represented mostly by Muslims. There'll be more Muslims among the genuine ones than non-Muslims. But don't think that there are not excellent believers out there. Now, when we start comparing believers, we have to be careful. Say, oh, let's present our believers. Let's have a meeting of the great religions and let us present our believers. Oh, the Muslims have to be very careful, because I might present a brother or sister that will fall way down on the scale of quality believers. And a Christian will win the contest. Or a Jew might win the contest. So we have to be very careful. We have to select it carefully our Muslim believers if we get into a contest with Muslims and Christians. With Jews and Christians. So you readily recognize that, don't you? Thank you. We got the best only if we will be the best at it. But still there are emphases in other religions that will present them as being better than us in certain matters. Now, I don't think we can shout better than some of those sanctified people. Because that's not one of our emphases. Shouting is not one of our emphases. I don't think we can sing those gospels better than they can. Some of you Muslims right away got into trying to sing the gospel. But I don't think you'll ever beat those Christians singing gospel. Because that doesn't happen to be our emphasis. Now, let us look at a discipline in our life that many
pass by and never see. But encounter it all the time if they read the Quran. Allah, He wants us to believe in the hereafter. Allah wants us to believe in the latter, the future, that Allah has promised us yet to come. And He wants us to put more importance on that than we do on the immediate, the now, the present. And He promises us that the future is more, is better. It's better in grain, it's better in quality. What He has for us in the future, it is better in terms of quality, and it is also better in terms of quantity. That's what Allah promises us in the Quran, in our holy book. There are two ways to look at that promise of Allah. The first and most important way to look at it, we all know. That is, that I live in this world, but I'm not in control of my faith. I can spend all of my energy and labor hard and be good, but I'm not in control of my faith. I may live to see 80, I may not live to see 8 years old. I may not live to see 20. I may not even live to see myself get married and have a family. And I will be an excellent person. My fate is not in my hands. Huh? So because of this reality that we have to live with, Allah, who gives the true believer, whether he's intellectual or not, he doesn't have to be brilliant. He doesn't have to be rich, prosperous. He can just be ordinary and even sub-ordinary. But if he will respond to faith, believe in Allah and respond to faith, Allah gives him an assurance that this is not all. This is not the end of things. He can get beat out of all of his savings. He can get robbed of all of his establishment. He can lose it all unjustly. But he won't be sent to the crazy house because he has a faith that this is not the end of it. Neither am I cut off from the rewards that my works have earned, and neither is the unjust person cut off from the punishment that his wrongdoings have earned. That is not finished when it looks finished. It's going to start up again in a whole new situation.